Welcome to the Monday edition of Let's Talk. Jeremy Clemens here with you, sitting in for Mark Ellenbrock. Mark will be back with you tomorrow during the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your day here on this sunny and now warmer Monday. We'll have plenty of great programming coming your way a little bit later. Mark Ellenbrock actually will be with us. We'll revisit an interview that he did with Girl Scout Troop 527 from Bethalto as they are kicking off a fundraiser tonight in Bethalto. We'll hear more about that with Mark in a little while, but we'll open up the program with Erin Rich from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. She's back with us. Last month we heard from Erin when we were talking about National Dairy Month. Well, we're a little more focused today, National Ice Cream Month. Erin, thanks so much for coming back and spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So it is National Ice Cream Month. I know yesterday we were talking about it, Brent and I, this morning, and then you and I a little bit ago about it yesterday actually being a National Ice Cream Day, but the event actually takes place, celebration maybe, all month long. But how did it get started?
Well, in 1984, so this is its 30th year, President Ronald Reagan recognized ice cream as being a fun treat and had some nutrition behind it and declared that July was National Ice Cream Month. So we've been celebrating it now for 30 years this year.
Oh, wow. So kind of a big anniversary then, I suppose. But I guess it makes sense to do it during the summer, right? When it's really warm and everybody wants to put something kind of cool and cool off, right?
Absolutely. It's a good time of year to have something, a cool treat. We've had some good weather, but it's going to start heating up. It's a good way to cool off, and it's so tasty.
Well, and I can think, for me at least, ice cream, I kind of associate that with when I was younger, after ball games during the summer, when I was playing Boys and Girls Club Ball, right after the game, if we won, the whole team, we'd all go to either Dairy Queen or a local ice cream place, and we'd get ice cream and sit and laugh and had a good time. And so I think ice cream, definitely something that a lot of folks have good memories when they think of ice cream.
Absolutely, and it's a good thing to have year-round, too. Mm-hmm. It's a big industry. About $21 billion are generated annually in ice cream sales.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, all year long, people can enjoy ice cream. And about 9% of all the milk products produced go towards ice cream. So it's a good chunk of the dairy products are used specifically for ice cream, too.
Well, and I know last month we did talk a lot about the nutrition of dairy products. What are the nutritional values of having ice cream?
The one thing that gives ice cream a little bit of an edge over some other desserts out there, it does have some nutrients in it. It's got protein in it because it's made from milk, and it also has that phosphorus and calcium too. So while you're enjoying your treat, you can still get some of those essential nutrients that your body needs.
Oh, wow. So it's tasty, but it can also be good for you. But I guess it being good for you comes back to how much of it you're going to have.
Exactly. A good rule of thumb is that there are no good foods and bad foods out there. Ice cream is definitely a dessert. It is a treat. It is not meant to replace one of your three servings of dairy you're supposed to have a day. But it can be enjoyed in moderation. And a good way to eyeball that moderation or that serving size, we want you to have about a half a cup, which is about the size of a tennis ball, a good scoop of ice cream there. You can enjoy it, but you're still keeping the portion at bay. So you get the nutrition, but you're not overdoing on the sugar and fat and everything else.
Well, and I think another thing you see today, a lot of folks putting, for lack of a better way, mix-ins, things they put in the ice cream to, you know, especially like vanilla. Does what they put in it impact how big of a serving they should have of the actual ice cream itself?
Depends on what you're watching for. If you're watching for your calorie content and that type of thing, then we may want to scale back on portions of one thing or another, especially if you're adding all of those add-ins in. The thing that's pretty great right now is there are a lot of places where you get a good variety of different add-ins. You could add in the candy type things, which are going to add more sugar, and some of them potentially more fat too. But you can also add in something like fruit. Fruit is a great thing you can add into ice cream where you get even more nutrition from it, other vitamins, and you can add fiber and minerals and that type of thing too, which is great.
Oh, indeed. I think one of my favorites, at least fruit-wise, strawberries. I love strawberries, blueberries, all that kind of good stuff. And people don't think about that because you think ice cream has to be sweet, has to be something you are guilty about later.
Right.
But really, it doesn't have to be.
Right, exactly. You can help incorporate a serving of fruit in with it, too. And you can even do that at home, too. We have fresh cut-up fruit that you add into your ice cream with something else, too. And it's much it's more of a guilt-free treat that way.
So looking along those terms, I guess you could think, well, maybe ice cream can fit into a healthy diet.
Absolutely, it can. And I touched on the moderation and the portion size, mm-hmm. but there's also a variety. The great thing about ice cream is there's a variety of products out there, depending on what your concern is. There's lower fat options. There's frozen yogurt options. There's a lot out there. Depending on your calorie need or your fat requirements and that type of thing, you can really get a good variety in.
Well, and you mentioned reduced fat, light fat, low fat, non-fat. What? You know, I can see those words, but really, what am I looking at there?
So the difference between those different words is a varying fat content there. So reduced fat, that means that there's 25% less fat than regular ice cream. So you got a little bit less fat. Light, you're going to have about 50% less fat than regular ice cream, or about a third less calories. So 2/3 of the calories that you would have with regular ice cream. Low fat, you have 3 grams of fat or less. It's a very specific number, 3 grams of fat. And then fat free is a half a gram to no fat at all.
Okay, so it does actually mean something. It's not just a word they're trying to think to suck you in as a consumer to buy.
Exactly. There are definite requirements to have a certain label with it.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, another thing, talking about dieting and eating this ice cream and stuff like that, I mean, of course, for a lot of folks, the go-to, if you're going to have ice cream, it's in a cone. But serving, you know, we see waffle bowls, we see all kinds of stuff. Is there any information available about, you know, if you're watching a diet or watching what you eat, what kind of serving vessel you should use?
In general, as a dietitian, I would say that sticking with a cup where you can count the scoops and that type of mm-hmm. thing, the smaller portion, and it's self-contained, especially if you're going out to eat, because we have a habit of trying to finish what we have usually, especially something as tasty as ice cream. So keeping it to a simple cup or a cone, too. A cone's a great way to have a small scoop on there and have it a little extra crunch or an extra something with it. So it's more so the serving size container, because the bigger the container gets, the more ice cream we get, the more add-ins we get, and it all starts to add up pretty quickly.
No, exactly. So speaking of the ice cream cone, by the way, how was it invented? How did we get the ice cream cone?
It was actually invented at the World's Fair in St. Louis in 1904. A man named Ernest Hamway had a waffle stand next to the ice cream stand, and the ice cream vendor ran out of bowls, so he whipped up a cone-shaped serving vesicle for the ice cream, and that's kind of the birth of the ice cream cone.
Okay, I knew it was formed in St. Louis during the World's Fair, but I didn't know the name or why or anything like that, so that's interesting.
Yes. And
that's something for St. Louis to be more proud of, I guess. I mean, I know we always think, at least in the region, one of the big names everybody associates with ice creams or frozen treats, Ted Drew's. But the ice cream cone, something else St. Louis can, maybe the St. Louis region can brag about. But looking at the clock, we are due for our first break. Aaron Rich from the St. Louis District Dairy Council is here. We're going to come back, revisit again how consumers can judge some of the quality of ice creams, and also maybe a little bit about what the favorite flavors are. I've got my favorite, and I think Aaron probably has hers. You probably even have your own. We'll talk more about that in just a bit as we continue on Let's Talk here on a Monday on the Big Z. Don't go away. Welcome back to Let's Talk on a Monday here on the Big Z. Jeremy Clements back with you, still talking all things ice cream with Aaron Rich, a nutrition educator from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. If you're just joining us, well, we're nearing the end, I guess, the later stages of National Ice Cream Month. That's why Aaron is here. And, you know, we've discussed a number of things, Aaron, but one of the interesting things, I know we kind of talked about it off the air earlier, we've talked about ice cream, but right now we're seeing kind of this surge in other types of frozen treats. There's custard, there's yogurt. What are we talking about when we look at all these different things?
So by definition, for it to be considered ice cream, a treat, it's made with milk and cream, and there's some stabilizers and emulsifiers for texture, but it has to have 10% milk fat. So to be considered an ice cream, it has to have that standard with mm-hmm. it. So then we've got things like custard. For custard to be considered custard, it's got to have a certain percentage of egg yolk solids as well. That gives it a little bit more of a rich texture and flavor. Still has 10% milk fat So those two are consistent there. When it comes to frozen yogurt, there's not really a standard definition for what the recipe has to be or how much of what it has to have. It is made from cultured milk, and it generally has low-fat or fat-free yogurt instead of the cream, so it tends to be a lot lower in fat. But you get a good variety. Now, the thing we hear a lot with yogurt usually is these good bacteria. Oh, this is yogurt. It's healthy. It's good for my digestion. Frozen yogurt has to have on the label that it has live active cultures. So that means the yogurt is added at a certain stage where it's not pasteurized to kill off that good bacteria. So in general, a lot of those places where you can go and fill up a cup and add a bunch of goodies to it, it doesn't have that good bacteria to it. It's still generally lower in fat and made with yogurt still, but you don't have that digestive benefit with it.
Okay, so there are different things that folks, there is a, the bottom line is there is a difference.
There is a difference. And then there's even things out there now that you can buy gelato, which is an Italian type of ice cream. Yep. It tends to have less cream and more sugar, and it's more dense, and it's kept in what's called a semi-frozen state. So it's kind of melty. It melts pretty fast, too.
Right. Yeah, gelato is delicious. It really makes me want to go to Italy. The thing is, I love pasta anyway, so... And I now found this whole thing with gelato. I'm like, oh, now I got to go. You know, it's just one other reason I have to go see Italy. But that's another conversation for another day. But in addition to just the resurgence of the different types of frozen mediums, I guess, if you want to call them that, we see all kinds of different things going on with them, all kinds of new flavors and ingredients being put in ice cream.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see. Some restaurants will even do custom-made ice cream where they have very interesting flavors, too, with lavender or chilies or salt or sea salt and that type of thing, too. These mixing of flavors where you've got hot or spicy or salty with the sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just fascinating to see just such a real diverse menu available for all these things. I mean, you know, we're so used to thinking, oh, well, ice cream is either chocolate, vanilla, you might see Twist, you might see a mint, you might see cookie dough, chocolate chip, whatever. But now you could go somewhere potentially. And I know on Facebook, somebody had like a red wine reduction ice cream, and it was like a light pinkish color, but you could see like little flakes of wine type stuff. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, just fascinating.
Right. People are starting to get pretty creative with the flavors, just like you do with food, where you mix all these different flavor palettes. So it's pretty interesting now.
It is. Now, if you or I, or just say one of our listeners, we're going to go to the store and we're looking for something ice cream, sweet, something good like that, how can I or someone else judge the quality of what we're buying?
There's going to be certain words on the ice cream that distinguishes its quality. You might see something like super premium or premium, regular, economy. And the higher the quality of the ice cream, you're going to have, for example, super premium. It is made with the best quality ingredients. It is going to have a lower overrun. Overrun is the incorporation of air in ice cream, and there is a standard. You can't incorporate too much air to have not enough ingredient in there. So when you incorporate air, the final product has to be at least, for ice cream, 4.5 pounds a gallon. So super premium is much lower in that air incorporation, which means it tends to be a little bit higher in fat. And it tends to be a little bit more pricey, too. Premium is still made with pretty high-quality ingredients, low overrun, so higher fat as well. Regular meets the standard. Okay. So the air incorporation there is going to be that 4.5 pounds for a gallon. And then economy it meets those requirements as well, and it's just lower quality ingredients. It'll be much cheaper.
So again, it's a matter of, you know, consumer not thinking, hey, this is just a word they can use to beef up the price. There is actually something behind it.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot with ice cream. It's National Ice Cream Month. Aaron Rich from the St. Louis District Dairy Council is here. What are the most popular ice cream flavors? I know we talked a little bit about some of the new interesting things, but what are the most common that you find?
By far, the most popular ice cream flavor is vanilla, and it tends to be pretty consistent from year to year. And then some other popular ones are mint chocolate chip and cookies and cream, too. Hmm. So vanilla, I think, tends to be pretty popular. I think you can mix a lot in with it, right. But it goes with a lot of things, too. You can have it with cake or pie or brownie or things like that. It's a good thing to accompany another dessert.
No, you know, I think you're right. Actually, I was talking to Brent Berglund earlier this morning during the morning show, and I mentioned the fact that, you know, nothing goes better with a piece of apple pie than vanilla ice cream. I that's what I had for dessert a couple days ago. Just fantastic thing to accompany that pie. Maybe it's just the simplicity of it, too. It's not going to be something overly complicated that's going to take away from the flavors of the pie or the flavors of the cake, whatever. So those are the most famous or the most popular that you've seen. I'll ask you, what's your favorite flavors for personally? What are yours?
Oh, ice cream is probably one of my favorite foods. But if I had to pick, I like a lot of different ones. I do like mint chocolate chip. I like cookie dough. I like adding different things in too. Sometimes I'm in a fruit mood and I really like adding raspberry in or something like that. So I kind of like them all. There's a good variety. There's something for everyone, but I do have a few go-tos. So one of those, probably.
Yeah, and for me, probably mint chips, probably up there. I'd have to actually stop and think about it. Chocolate chip cookie dough used to be, no matter where I was, when I was, that's all I would eat. But I don't know. I've kind of drifted towards a mint chip thing. Now, just another question popped in my head. You know, we've talked about the difference in ice cream, custard, and frozen yogurt. But with ice cream, not only can you eat it just out of a bowl, out of a cone, whatever, there are also shakes and concretes and stuff like that. Do you, as far as the differences in there, is there any available information there?
What kind of regulates a shake? Or
yeah.
There isn't really any regulation on this has to be a concrete or a shake, right, or something like that. There's not a required ratio. Different places will do different things. Mm-hmm. I worked at a custard place when I was in high school, and we would make shakes with the custard, and then it wouldn't just be milk. It would be a combination of the milk and the custard mix, so they're very rich.
Mm.
So from place to place, you're going to get a different variation. Malts will add that malt mix in to make it a little bit thicker, but as far as amounts or requirements, those aren't really as regulated.
Okay, so it's just kind of something, if you have a question, ask wherever you are, ask whoever's going to make it, and say, hey, you know, what's kind of the difference, and find out what you're looking for and what suits you.
Exactly.
Is that just a general rule of thumb in general when you're talking about ice cream products, right?
Right. Or really any food when you go out to eat. It's not a bad question to ask what's in it or what you're doing with it.
That's right. So, all right, Aaron, we've covered a number of topics, a number of questions. Before we get you out of here, anything else about Ice Cream Month, ice cream in general, that we as consumers, we as people who are going to eat the product should be aware of and think about?
Well, really, it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be a treat. Enjoy it this month or year round. Moderation is key. That half cup serving is ideally what we're looking for, but it's July and it's ice cream month, and get out there and enjoy some.
All right. That's Aaron Rich from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Aaron, thanks so much for stopping by this morning. And of course, not only telling us about ice cream month, but educating us about what we're putting in our bodies and how we can make sure that we're doing it in a way that isn't going to result in, hopefully not result in expanding waistbands too much.
Exactly.
All right, that's Aaron Rich. I'm Jeremy Clements. We'll be back with more Let's Talk on the Big Z in just a few minutes. Don't go away.